Hi, I'm Bonnie Landry, and welcome to Make Joy Normal. With my co-hosts, Celia Smith and Christina, and the guests we have on our show, we would like to share the opportunity to walk with you. We're so grateful for all the listeners and for all the questions and the comments that we get on our show. We're just so thankful that you are tuning in and you have a desire to make joy normal in your own life. As part of your daily walk, we hope that we can support you in this. We ask that if this has been valuable to you, that you share, like, or leave us a review. That's how we get the word out so that we can help others make joy normal too. Time for joy, time for housework. For those of you who haven't been to this before, I've done two or three now. I've just been taking people's questions and compiling them and making them coherent as I'm combining questions and then creating topics like this one, finding time for joy, finding time for housework, and putting them on a Facebook Live to answer those questions. And the goal is eventually to put them onto YouTube and start a YouTube channel, but we'll see if that happens. I want to first qualify about time for joy, finding time for joy, finding time for housework. First of all, is that finding time for anything is actually a misnomer. We don't find time. We create space in our day to do things. So time doesn't just sort of fall on our head like a piece of fruit off a tree. It would be more like foraging for something, you know, foraging for mushrooms or for finding something in the debris. We have to dig out the time, create the time, make the time happen, as opposed to just suddenly finding, oh, gee, I've got a spare hour here. I should do something. We have to be aware then of the planning that's required therein, you know, that we need to think about how we spend our time and not squander it, right? Including time for recreation. So the one of the realities that I think is important to talk about is that it's easier to find joy when our life is well ordered. Finding joy and finding time for housework are kind of the same thing, because when we live a well ordered life, that's where we find our joy. That's where we find time to do the things that we need to do. One of the, I think, the easy mistakes to make, certainly a mistake that I made early on in my life as a mom, was rushing all the time to get things done, right? So I want to rush through everything. I want to get everything done, rush, rush, rush all the time to get all the stuff done. And what ends up happening when you rush is that a couple of things. First of all, you make more mistakes when you rush, okay? You get less done in a sense because you're rushing around, you drop things, you make mistakes, you have to redo things, you overlook things because you're in a rush. You sort of trip over your own intentions in a sense. And rushing actually doesn't help us to get things done. Slowing down helps us to be far more productive. So if we can slow down everything we do, we will probably get more done. And slowing down with our kids. As soon as we start pushing our kids and rushing our kids, of course, what we find is that they get in bad moods or they start pushing against us. You know, where if we just speak slowly and operate slowly, excuse me one second. So when we think about that, when we think about creating space in our day to do things, finding time for joy, if we can keep slowing down at the forefront of all of that, this will all be a lot easier. We get a lot more done when we focus on small jobs for short periods of time. Most of us work better in that environment, but absolutely we work better in that environment when we have small children, right? Because we only ever get little tiny short bursts of time. If we can focus for 5 or 10 minutes on one task, we're probably going to get more done, even though it can feel like you're spinning your wheels. Once you've developed that habit of just focusing on little things for a few minutes, you'll find how productive you can be. Getting anything done is actually pretty hard when you have kids. And the smaller they are, of course, the harder that is. I'll give you some ideas just on things that have really worked well for us. Rushing never worked well, so we can take that one off the list. I've always worked with my kids in terms of my doing their schoolwork with them. I'm not an unschooler. I would definitely lean in that direction of child-led learning. There are some things that I want to sit down every day and do with my kids. They're very short. They're very efficient and powerful ways of doing things. If you go on my blog and look up dictation, that'll give you a really good picture of how we approach things. Language arts is a 5 to 10 minute lesson a day and has churned out some pretty literate kids. So, but I'm not going to talk about that at this moment. I want to focus on, you know, getting things done. How do we get things done? So I've always worked with my kids one-on-one, giving them really focused attention on the one thing that we're working on for a short period of time. It's a great learning model too for kids. It's great for us because, you know, when we've got all those things going on with a, you know, a house full of kids, it's easier to break things down into little doable chunks. So language is 5 or 10 minutes. When they're young, math is 5 or 10 minutes. When I'm still working with them on these things, we just give it our focused attention for those few minutes, knowing that that's going to be the best way for them to learn, the best way for me to teach. And for those of you who've listened before, I will always say, you know, you can always be nice for 5 minutes, and tone is everything. So when you're working with your kids, even if it's just, you know, getting housework done or whatever, your tone is really vital. When you sit down to do dictation or sit down to do math, the way that you use your voice with them is really important. And we can do that for 5 minutes at a time, right? We can be nice for 5 minutes. Because I use this method of teaching my kids, it leaves my afternoons free. I'm done. You know, by lunchtime, I read to my kids over lunch. But I'm, for all intents and purposes, done our sit-down work by lunchtime. Sometimes my high schoolers have things they have had to do in the afternoon, but I'm free to do the things that I need to do in the afternoon. So I can set aside, and this is a conscious decision, okay, I'm not going to do housework right now. I'm going to work with my kids. But I know that this afternoon I'll have time to get the things done to keep the household running smoothly. So it's a real temptation to just get, you know, get things done, scramble around, try and get things done all the time. Oh, they're busy doing X. I'm going to go rush off and do this. But in a way, it doesn't work in your favor. But if you know, okay, I'm going to have an hour or two this afternoon where I can get the things done that need to be done to keep the house running smoothly, then you can set aside that, okay, well, the dishes need doing, however, I'll have time later. You know, the laundry needs doing, however, I'll have time later. We need to avoid the temptation to try and juggle doing all the things at once. You know, this requires a sort of trust that this is actually going to happen, that you're actually going to have time this afternoon. But if you know you've done all the things that you, with your kids that are needful, you're not going to be worrying about their education, you can just work on the housework. So it's very frustrating to be loading the dishwasher or trying to get some laundry in or rushing around folding laundry and having your child do their math saying, Mom, I need your help with this problem. So it's very frustrating for us because we're being pulled away from that thing. We just think, can we just finish one thing? A lot of times we can't finish that one thing because we have too many interruptions. And then we approach the child and we're often annoyed, right? Okay, I'm just feeling irritated because you are calling my attention away from the laundry. And we know if we step back from that idea, we know with absolute certainty that that's not going to work, right? We can't be irritated with the child who needs help with a math problem, because they called us away from the laundry. But it's even more frustrating, of course, for the child to sit there and have the mom say, I can't help you right now, or just give me 5 minutes while I finish, you know, putting this load in. That's really frustrating to sit there with a math problem staring at you that you don't understand, and you just have to sit there with your pencil in hand. So we don't have to feel frantic. If we know we have planned time in the afternoon, we don't have to feel frantic to get the things done now. We can make time for that later. When we do get that time in the afternoon, when suddenly we have some time ahead of us that we can look to getting the things we need to get done, including our time to recreate ourselves, time to read, or time to, you know, go on Pinterest or whatever it is we feel helps us feel rested and adult-like, have to plan that our 10-minute job, if we have small children and no big children to help out, our 10-minute job, you know, could well take an hour. So let's break it up into little tiny pieces. Again, we want to take 5 minutes, okay, or 10 minutes or 15 minutes, whatever you can afford. I've often set a timer for getting things done. I use a timer still to this day. I have big kids. I don't have any little kids in my house. I always use a timer. Okay, I'm just going to spend 10 minutes cleaning the kitchen. It feels like the kitchen's going to take 2 hours to clean, when in reality, if you set the timer for 10 minutes, you can get a heck of a lot of it done, right? You might get that load of dishes done. You might get all the counters wiped. And if that's all our expectation is that, okay, I just have 10 minutes to work right now. I'm going to do it now, in little short bursts. Then you'll feel like at least you've gotten something done. I would like to point you guys to a book called Sync Reflections. The author's name is Marla Silley. She's the, Silley, C-I-L-L-E-Y. She is the woman behind the, what is the name for a group? I'm sorry, it's not popping into my head right now. But Sync Reflections was a book she wrote on how to keep your house orderly. Fly Lady, that's her sort of nickname, Fly Lady, in her group. It's called Fly Lady. I avoid the website. I find it really kind of crazy and frenetic. But the book is really beautiful. And she really taught me how to break my jobs down that I need to get done into little tiny jobs that were no longer irritants, that they were part of my day that needed to get done. And my goal was not to have anybody else do them for me or guilt anyone else because they weren't done, but then I could just take responsibility to get the 5 or 10 minute job done, break it down into little pieces. So the timer becomes a really magical thing in my life because it's finite. Okay, I did that. I gave it my best shot for 10 minutes. And I'll get back to it again after I've, you know, dealt with the kids or read a story or done whatever else I want to do. Even breaks, you know, I take breaks for myself. So I'll sit down and I'll set the timer for 45 minutes and have a cup of tea and do some writing or whatever it is I want to do. When the timer's up, okay, it's time to get up again. It's easy to sit down at your computer and while away 2.5 hours and think, oh no, now it's supper time and I didn't get anything done. But we should plan time for ourselves to recreate ourselves. That's really important too. One of the best ideas in terms of just getting the housework done and making it go a little smoother, one of the best ideas that I ever came across was that at supper time, you sort of make more food than I required at supper time, and then just put all that food in a casserole dish for lunch the next day and do it as you're cleaning up for supper. So you have the next day for lunch, you have one casserole dish with the food in it, you stick it in the oven at 11 o'clock and you don't have any prep work, you don't have any mess to clean up, just the one casserole dish from your lunch mess. And that was a big life-changing thing for me, that lunch didn't have to be at suddenly at, you know, 11:45 when the kids were starting to get hungry and owly, especially when they were small, that I wasn't thinking, oh my gosh, I gotta throw some lunch together. And of course, as soon as you start throwing things together, you're gonna make more mess, you're gonna create more work for yourself. And so that was a super handy thing. I've also been was introduced to the idea of just starting getting ready for my day the night before. So not only lunch, but that I would spend a few minutes in the place that I was going to sit down with my kids in the next morning and make sure that it was clear, make sure that we had breakfast out, that I felt like I was pretty ready for my day the night before. If I couldn't do that for whatever reason, kids were sick or I was sick or, you know, unexpected company, do that in the morning before you start anything else. Even if it means sort of tossing your school day, just get up in the morning, things are in crisis. So just clean up and start getting ready for tomorrow, right? Rather than frantically trying to catch up with this day, you know, just move forward. As our kids got a little bit older, I got them to start helping out when they were very young. And sometimes, always, it takes little kids way longer to do a job that you can do really efficiently. But it's good training for later on, that they learn how to do little things and they learn how to help out. And they learn that this is just part and parcel of being a family, that we work together and their help is necessary, right? So I found that was much more successful when I worked alongside them. So where I always started that with my small kids was after meal tidy up. So basically we would have a meal and then I still do this. I still say to everybody, some age appropriate task. You push in the chairs, you pick up the things that fell on the floor. You take the forks to the counter so that we can put them in the dishwasher. You load the dishwasher or unload the dishwasher and give everybody a little job that maybe only takes 2 or 3 minutes, but that they're all helping out And I'm working alongside them, giving them direction and guiding them as we work together. They were much more inclined to stay there if I was there, first of all. They were much more inclined to want to do it if they felt like they were directly helping me as opposed to sending them off to do a job that, you know, required attention somewhere else in the house. As they got a little older, I gave my kids an area that they were responsible for in the house. And my idea was, when I first started that, was that I would give each kid an area, like the living room or the laundry room or the foyer or, you know, the front porch. I would give them an area and they would be responsible for cleaning it two or three times a day, that I could then expect them to do that area. Say if we were leaving the house, okay, run and do your area. And then we'll come back when we come back home, where maybe we're heading out or whatever, we'll come back home and the house will be tidy, right? Or at least the main floor will be tidy. My idea was that I would give them an area, they would be responsible for it. And every month or two, we would rotate and change areas. What I found with my kids is that they really loved getting really good at the area that they were. So they actually kept their areas for years, getting good at the area they were assigned to, and they knew they could clean it in 2 minutes, right? They knew everything went. They knew what had to be done to satisfy my, you know, level of tidiness. And sometimes I might give them a bigger task in the area. So, okay, well, today we're actually going to dust your area. So you need to, you know, take a dust cloth and go around that for a couple of minutes. Or we're going to vacuum it. But usually it was just a tidy up. So the house was stayed tidy most of the time. They would do their areas before we left the house. They would usually do their area maybe before Dad got home from work, and we would do a quick tidy up before we went to bed at night. But in total, the whole thing was, you know, maybe 2 minutes per time that they did it. So it was short. So that was a really effective thing. With my little kids, they would go alongside a sibling with their area. Okay, you go help Lucy tidy up her area in the living room, or you go help fold laundry with Brianne in another room. And that was really effective, and they could actually be helpful to the person who was in charge of an area. Those are just a few things that we did to, you know, just make housework run a little smoother. I think that there's a great analogy in, you know, we all know that we function better if there is a place for all of our stuff. If we know where things go, it's easier to keep your house tidy, right? Okay, these belong in this room, they belong on this shelf, they belong in this basket. And then when we go to find the thing, when we need the thing, we know where it is, right? We know where it goes. It's easier for our kids to clean up when they know where everything goes. We end up with just sort of piles of stuff everywhere if we don't have a place for everything. It's the same with our time and how we use our time. Is if everything has a time, and I don't mean a time on the clock, but I mean a kind of a method in which you do it. Okay, we've allotted our mornings for schoolwork. We've allotted our afternoons where I'm going to spend at least an hour of that doing my housework. I'm probably going to spend an hour of that, you know, reading to the kids or going outside with them. I'm going to spend an hour of that prepping for dinner. That we need to have a method of how we do things as opposed to flying by the seat of our pants all the time. Some of you, those of you who are naturally organized people, you don't even know what I'm talking about probably, because it's for those of us who sort of stumble around and don't really know that that's how you have to do things. There's a lot of us out there who don't really realize that there's a method will really help you get things done, or having a place for everything will help you, will really eliminate a lot of wasted time. When we're talking about our physical space, the more busy your life is at any given time, and we go through real phases, you know, we've just had a baby, life is really busy, or we have all of our children are under five, we're really busy, your family is in some sort of crisis, somebody is ill, or you've just moved, you know, there's many different crises we come across in our lives, you know, and sometimes almost daily. But if you can make your space, whatever space you choose, if you can make it manageable for you, you don't have to keep your entire house tidy. And sometimes we can get very stressed, well, the basement's a big mess all the time, or the upstairs is a big mess all the time, or the kids' bedroom is a big mess all the time. If you make your space small enough to be manageable, according to the level of crisis that you live in, this is a very, very handy tool for staying, being able to stay on top of things, be able to stay joyful with what you're working with. When I was expecting my sixth baby, we moved into a new house, and it was a three-level house, and I decided that the only way I could cope was to make the main floor the only place I cared about, right, at this point in life. And it's a season. It's hard sometimes to let go of, you know, that we can't know that we know that we're not staying on top of everything, but it's a season. And if we can really keep that, at the forefront of our mind, that this is a season where all I can cope with is this. You know, when I had a baby, literally it would be just the room that I sat in nursing the baby all the time for the first few weeks. All I really care about is what's in my range of view at this exact moment. I need to just be able to know that this is okay, to just be, have this space, which is maybe only 20 feet across, manageable for me right now, and being able to pick up and keep tidy that little tiny, tiny space. So sometimes our space gets smaller and smaller, you know, some really when we've just had a baby and we spend those first glorious few days just nursing the baby in bed, if we can, that really our bed becomes the place that is our little cocoon. And all that matters is that, you know, there's no toys on the bed and there's no dirty dishes on the bed. And, we can make our space that small in times, in real serious times of crisis, we can make our space that small. So I would encourage all of you to look for ways. Maybe some of these ways will help you to be able to find time for joy, find time for yourself, find time to have more joyful interaction with your kids. It's very hard to find joy when you're scrambling and chasing all the time, chasing kids, chasing day, chasing stuff. You know, we can work towards peace, but we have to, first of all, slow down. We have to not approach things in such a scrambly way. We have to give it some forethought, use the timer to help keep you on track, and keep your space small enough to manage, and know that, you know, that it's only a season, and you can expand your space as you go along.